Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia.
And now,
here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia. Super excited to have all of our listeners tuning in from all across the world wide web. How you doing? Those that are coming in from Twitter, from Facebook, we love you guys. Those that are listening from Charvette.com, we love you. We love you. Listen, let me tell you about today's show. So this is all about books, and we're going to throw a little music in as well, but primarily we're doing book spotlights today. And so my first segment, I'm excited to have two dynamic young ladies that are hanging out in the virtual green room. We'll be bringing them to the mic momentarily. But I have two of the three authors, writers, for a book called Faded Diamonds. I have Camille Burke and Melissa, that's two L's, Thomas, that are going to be joining me to talk about this book. I'm telling you what, you don't want to go anywhere. Five women with five different life stories converge through unlikely and unintended fluent influences, and there's an explosive encounter. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the first segment, Faded Diamonds. And then in our second segment, we are delighted to have another author that we are spotlighting, Charles W. Cherry II. He's a speaker, a practicing attorney, a radio broadcaster, and he's the author of Excellence Without Excuse. And this book is really written to target African-American children. It's the Black Student's Guide to Academic Excellence. So we're going to be chatting it up with Charles W. Cherry II a little bit later on in the show. But listen, if you're not following me on Twitter, I need you to follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Of course, connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. And make sure you grab my mobile app, which is available on iPhones, iPads, Android devices, BlackBerry devices, and all you have to do is search for Charvette in your app store, Google Play Store, BlackBerry World, all that good stuff. All right, so let's jump right on in. Again, my guests are here and ready to talk about Faded Diamonds. Yes. So I'm bringing them to the mic right now. Again, Melissa Thomas and Camille Burke are here to talk to us about this book. Hello, ladies. How are you doing?
Hi, Charvette. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you doing? Hey, Camille.
Hello.
Hey, Melissa.
Thanks for having me. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Oh, you are welcome. You're welcome. So I want to jump right on in. So first of all, three writers for one book. Melissa, I'm going to have you go first and kind of tell us how did you all figure out how to do this together?
Actually, it was pretty much done remotely primarily.
Okay.
We're all in three different parts of Florida. Camille is in West Palm Beach, that sort of area, you know, West Palm Beach, Boca, that kind of area. Stacy's in Miami, and I'm in Central Florida. So we converse every week via phone. We email back and forth, and then once a month we meet in person in South Florida.
Wow, you made it work. You made it work.
Indeed.
So, Camille, tell us, in your own words, like, what was the experience like having kind of two other writers and two other authors that you could kind of piggyback off of?
Well, for me, it was not piggybacking. This book has been in my head for the past 4 years, and last year I decided to take myself seriously and to stop joking about it. I'm a social worker, so I have lots of clients. I have many stories, many experiences. I've been doing this for 10 years. And people always, like, joke, girl, you should write a book, all the craziness you hear. You know, and I laugh it off and everything. And then one day, it didn't seem so funny anymore. I said, you know what? I really should write a book, you know? And it was in my head. And for 4 years, like I stated, it didn't happen overnight. So I got with another coworker who shared, we worked at the same place, and we shared a lot of the same experiences. And then I stated to myself, well, if you want to write a book, you probably should go with someone who has experience, you know, to be great. So instead of me reinventing the wheel and trying to get, you know, the new gasp on writing a book, because there's an art and a technique to it, I decided to team up with Melissa because this is her fourth or fifth book. And, well, this will be her fourth or fifth book, but she's written books before. So that's how we all, you know, got together and worked collaboratively on this.
Awesome. And I definitely want to shout out the third writer who's not on the show today, but we want to give her a big shout out. So Stacey Packalud, who is the third writer with this. All right. So Faded Diamond. So how did the title come about? And I don't know if that's a Melissa question or a Camille question, but how did you all come up with the actual title?
I can answer that. Close to the end of the manuscript, close to the finishing of the story, during one of our meetings, I submitted to the ladies several main suggestions, and Faded Diamonds was actually a cross between two of the choices. One of them, I think, was Faded Ruby, and then the other one was something, another diamond, like Black Diamond or something else. And Camille and Stacey liked the faded part, and they preferred the use of the diamond instead of the ruby, because, of course, the diamond is the most coveted jewel, which, you know, that's very symbolic for all the characters in the book. You know, you are such an amazing person, but you can't see it. You don't really notice it. So putting those two words together was more powerful than any of the other choices. So.
All right. Great. So, Camille, tell us, I love how the book starts out. It grabs you right away. You're intrigued with this character. You're grabbed right from the genesis of the book. So tell us how the book starts out.
Well, I'll tell you a summary of the book because I really want you to read the book.
Absolutely.
So the book is collaboratively a group of women, about five women. And from my experiences of, you know, being a social worker, because the book is written primarily by social workers. Melissa's not a social worker, but the other authors, Stacey and myself, are. And through our experience, we have always done facilitated groups. And sometimes as women, we get together and we just have beef. We just have, you know, just beef for no reason. We just don't like each other.
Right.
And, you know, hurt people. And as the women get to understand each other, they realize, wait a minute, we have more in common than we do not. So they become friends. And, you know, everyone initially, you know how it is. I don't like female friends. That's what women say. That's what we say to each other. I can't stand women. I don't chill with women. I don't have no female friends. But as they get to understand each other, they realize they have the same childhood stories, upbringing. They like the same food. Some of them used to date the same men. You know, they share a lot more in common than they think, you know. So it's a book that pretty much teaches women how we can empower each other, like girl power, and we can change the world. You know, we're so powerful. And instead of using our energy and our thoughts to break each other down and to just roll our eyes at each other and not even try to get to know each other and build a relationship, we need to use it to build each other. So the book will show you how they all end up together in one spot, and they build each other.
So that's good. So it is. It is a good ending, and something that people will listen to and hear and really hear the message that's coming from it. And so who would be your ideal reader? Melissa, why don't you take that one? Who are you really targeting? We know it's women, but anyone in particular, any age group, any age bracket you would be targeting?
For me personally, I think the younger you start, the better, because these days, I mean, with for somebody like me and Camille, like our insecurity probably didn't hit until maybe the teen years. But these mm-hmm. days, with the way bullying is now and with broken homes and the abuse that nobody wants to talk about, the insecurity stuff and the dysfunction and the emotional instability starts from a much younger age, preteens, you know, little kids, that sort of thing. Considering the vocabulary in the book, for me personally, the target audience would be pre-adolescents, kids that are like 11, 12, that sort of thing, just so they can grasp the concept of what's in store if you make the wrong decision with your life.
Yeah.
And the importance of surrounding yourself with people who can build you up, or at least one person, even if not a group of people, just finding mm-hmm. one person who takes you seriously and wants to see you succeed and will help you, who, you know, someone that can help you grow.
And so what I thought was interesting was definitely the book deals with choices, and I think the mindset was interesting.
Yep.
As I kind of read, like, wow, this young lady would have this type of mindset. So I think it's enlightening that way. If you just tuned in, we say, hey there, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're chatting it up with Camille Burke and Melissa Thomas. Melissa with two L's, and we're talking about faded diamonds. Melissa, tell them how they can connect with you online.
You can connect with us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Faded Diamonds. If you type in a search, you can type Faded Diamonds book, and it'll take you right to us. We are on Twitter at FadedDMNDS. That's our Twitter page, and our website is fadeddiamondsbook.wordpress.com.
All right, awesome. All right, so Camille, tell the listeners the names of all of the main characters.
Okay, we have many characters. We have about five characters. We have Layla Sutters. She's throughout the book. I would say she would be the most talked about character. Would you say that, Melissa?
Yeah, she's essentially the hero of the book. So the story is being told through her. So definitely, she's the popular one.
Yeah, like not to just make her the most important person, but she definitely would be the hero because her character, I would say she can relate to all of the other characters within the book. And her character
mm-hmm.
is just so unique.
Yep.
She is one of those people that is able to deal with, I guess, almost every personality. Would you say that, Melissa?
I would agree.
She's, you know, because we have some very difficult characters. And,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people are in the book, they're initially judgmental because, you know, she's as a helper. And people initially think, what, you think you're better than us? Well, you didn't actually follow this help. Who do you think you are? You know what I mean? And she's just trying to do the right thing to help people. And this is, I mean, it's a fiction book, but many of us have experienced similar situations in our everyday lives. And I know you were asking Melissa a question about who do you think or what genre does this book appeal to? I think, for me, it appeals to both men, both women. Young as 13 to as old as 100, because there are many experiences and life experiences that each person can take from this book, and I think that all the characters in these books is definitely relatable. And as I was writing, a lot of me came out in, you know, some of the characters. So I think it can appeal to anybody. I've had a man ask me, well, since it was written by women, is it only for women? Not at all. We don't discriminate regarding who reads the book.
Did you ever have moments where you went back and looked at what you had written and said, wow, did I write that? Or how just seeing the words on paper just made things come alive?
I've had those moments. Because when I write, it comes from the heart. You know, this book was written from my heart. It wasn't memorized. It wasn't anything that was pre-recorded. This is from my heart. So when I went back and read it on paper, I know what I said, and I know what my thoughts were. But when I read it, I was in awe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it wasn't scripted. It was very uncut.
It's just authentic, just an authentic flow from your heart.
Yes.
All right, so I know people are saying, well, when can I get my hands on Faded Diamond?
It'll be available January 2014. It'll be available in paperback on Amazon.com. It'll be available on the Kindle and across all digital devices as well.
Fabulous. And also, will people be able to contact you for, let's say, speaking engagements or book clubs where they could have you participate and maybe give a download, you know, about the book from the author?
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
People can reach me on Facebook, Melissa Thomas, or they can actually, the better way is to contact us through the Facebook page for the book, of course, Faded Diamonds Book. So.
Great. And then, of course, on Twitter, again, we want them to have that Twitter handle. So tell us one more time how they can connect with you on Twitter.
It is at FadedDMNDS. And actually, if you guys want to email us, it is FadedDiamondsBook@gmail.com.
All right. So my last question for both you and Camille, and we'll start with you, Melissa, and end up with Camille. The goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence. And I want to know what continues to motivate you.
What continues to motivate me is just the art of writing. Writing stories it resonates with people, especially stories of redemption and victory and overcoming, because it always motivates people to keep it moving in their own lives. It's like, okay, this person made it, I can too. So that's what motivates me to keep going.
Well said, well said. All right, and then Camille, we want to know what continues to motivate you.
I'm motivated every day by the work that I do with my clients. I have my own practice, and I have many different type of clients from all walks of life. I feel like I'm the voice of the poor people, but I'm the link between the rich and the poor, because I know a lot of rich people, I know a lot of poor people, but I feel like I'm the voice for all the unheard people who don't have a voice. So I'm an advocate. I go hard for my clients. I go real hard. So I'm motivated by empowering them to make better life choices for themselves. I'm a life coach as well as a social worker. And sometimes you're not around to see the progress that people have made. Either, you know, people move on, you move on, whatever. But bumping into people, I mean, I live in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, and it's not so big of a town. So every now and then you bump into clients that you've always wondered whatever happened, and you see the progress that they made, and it feels good to know that you made a difference. Even though sometimes you don't feel like you are, because success doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
And sometimes you want something more for the person than they want for themselves. But, you know, people do things in their own time when it's time for them to have it. So that's what I'm motivated by. Empowering people.
Awesome. Listeners, I think we're together for Elvis and Melissa Thomas. Again, be on the lookout for Faded Diamonds. And ladies, we are glad you had a chance to stop through and chat with us, and we will keep our eye out for you.
Yes. Thank you so much for having us on.
I really appreciate this
opportunity.
Oh, you are
have a show.
Thank you. All right, listeners, we're going to a very quick commercial break, and then we'll be back to our next book spotlight, talking to Mr. Charles W. Cherry II. Don't you go anywhere. You are listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Newcastle Productions presents the award-winning play, The Piano Lesson. Two siblings debate on whether to keep or sell the old family piano. If sold, consequently, they sell the souls of their ancestors. who paid much more than money for it. Don't miss out on August Wilson's classic tale of the family and the piano, which taught them a lesson at Greater Ebenezer AME Church in Richmond, Virginia, on Saturday, January 11th, 1 p.m. and 6 p.m. shows. Purchase tickets at Barkey's or call 804-908-3795 for online orders and information.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Listeners, follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Charvette. Connect with me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette. Of course, you can go to my main website, which is charvette.com. And don't forget to grab my free mobile app. Just search for Charvette. All right, so we're moving right on into our next segment. Again, I'm excited to have Charles W. Cherry II. Who's going to be joining us. He's hanging out in the virtual green room, so hopefully he enjoyed some virtual snacks while he was in there. We're going to be bringing him to the mic. He's a speaker. He's a writer. He's a radio broadcaster and a practicing attorney. And then also I have to add, in addition and on top of all of that, he is the publisher of the Florida Courier, and it is a family-owned statewide African-American newspaper that reaches more than 360,000 readers weekly, and he's here to chat it up about a book that he has that's really going to help African-American students, and the book is called Excellence Without Excuse. It's the Black Student's Guide to Academic Excellence, and I'm telling you, I posted a picture of the book cover on my Facebook page and got a lot of likes, so I think people really connect and know that we need to do something to help with our African-American students. So we're going to the mic right now, and we are bringing Mr. Charles W. Cherry II on air. Hello, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you, sister. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing?
Good. Doing fine. And I just love your introduction, the way that you say Charles W. Cherry II.
Yes, I got to put something on it. I got to put a little extra spice on it. So listen, well, I'm just glad we have a chance to grab you. Certainly your schedule is jam-packed. So when did you even have time to write a book?
Well, it took me 5 years, and actually the book is almost, it's about 20 years old. Let me give you some history. I'm a former Broward County prosecutor and came down here in 1983 and was in the state attorney's office for a couple of years. And the book comes out of my experience both as a prosecutor and seeing young black men locked up for reasons that are really unrelated to anything that they actually did. It's more as a consequence of the failure that they had to sort of navigate through the American educational system, number one. And then number two, it came out of my experience coming out of Morehouse College in Atlanta and then going to the University of Florida. I was in a very rigorous law school and Master of Business Administration program, and I had to essentially try to revolutionize my own way of studying. I'd always been a good student, but by the time I got to the University of Florida, man, I mean, because of the rigor of the program and the amount of material that I had to study, it was either change how I was doing things or flunk out, and I refused to flunk out. So the book, it took me 5 years after I left the state attorney's office to write it, and for probably 4 or 5 years, I was out pushing it in the late 90s, and then my family got involved with the media ownership. We picked up radio stations. At one time, we owned 11 stations. 9 a.m. and 9 films and 2 a.m. And I just sort of put it aside. But through those years, people have contacted me and called me and said, Charles, you know, our kids are suffering. You know, rather than sitting down rewriting the book, why don't you do what you've already done and get it back out there because the kids need the help. So that's what I decided to do.
Awesome. Excellence without excuse, listeners. Excellence without excuse. The title, tell us how you came up with that title.
You know, so many times we hear excuses for why our students fail, particularly our black students. And frankly, nobody cares about the reason why you fail. Nobody really cares. People have their own issues. You know, it could be race. Yeah. It could be, you know, growing up in a single family home. You might be the first person to graduate from high school, much less college. And you can use that as an excuse, or you can use that as just sort of part of your life story. But I just believe that if our kids are given the tools and they understand the attitude that they need to have to be successful academically, then they can be successful. And I never saw anybody talking about what does it take for a kid to be academically successful. I heard motivational speakers, but I heard anybody talk about time management and goal setting and taking notes and how to take tests and memory systems and all these other kinds of things that I decided to delve into, because those are the things that got me through the University of Florida to have 2 graduate level degrees. And they weren't giving them away. They weren't giving them away when I got out with both degrees in 1982, and they're not giving them away now.
They certainly aren't. And so I'm so glad you just hit some of the key things that are covered that you hit on in the book, the principles. And so would you say this book is written for parents or written for students or written for everybody in between?
It's written primarily for students, but the students, I would say probably students in junior high school, I would say probably 8th grade, 9th grade. And it was written as if I was sitting across my dining room table talking to a young brother or sister to say, okay, look, if you want to be successful in America or any place on this planet, education is the foundation of anything that you can do to be successful, anything. And if, no matter what it is that you're trying to learn, there is a system that has already been invented. It's thousands of years old. All you have to do is put it together. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you can learn whatever it is that you want to learn. But here are my suggestions. Now, you know, and I suggest because, you know, different people have different learning ways of learning. Some people learn orally, some, you know, and different learning styles.
Right.
So I would advise any young brother or sister to try to figure out what works for them. So I can only tell you from my experience what works for me. This works for me, but there are certain similarities that you have to have in any type of learning situation. And so what I try to do is to try to say, hey, look, let's talk about the elephant in the room, first of all, which is race. You know, let's talk and let's get an understanding that, yes, there's racism in this society. There's racism in the education system. But that in and of itself should not be a determinant of what happens to you in your educational career. And let's deal with some of the race-neutral type of skills that anybody can learn. You know, there's listening skills, there's speed reading, there's understanding how to use even breaks that you don't study like an hour at a time. It's better to study 10 or 15 minutes, take a slight break, to study another 10 or 15 minutes. So there are specific things in terms of how the human brain works that we tell kids and parents. And so it's written to the student, but for people or for folks who want to try to understand what they need to do to help their children, it can help parents too.
Wow. So I'm so glad you mentioned there are race-neutral things, but I'm sure you've had – I would guess that you've had some people that might have said, well, why didn't you just write Excellence Without Excuse, The Student's Guide to Academic Excellence? Why did you have to put The Black Student's Guide to Academic Excellence? Have you had anyone challenge or question that?
Yeah, people
that
question
was bold
it.
Enough
and I tell them it's because I'm a black student. I'm raising black students. I went to school with black students, and it's the black students that need the help above and beyond everything else. So I'm talking to folks in my family when I and,
yeah.
and I essentially there is a difference because you know, and part of what I see is what I never agreed with much of what George W. Bush said, but he said something that resonated with me, which he talked about the soft bigotry of low expectations. And that of in and of itself, I spent a lot of time talking about the low expectation of the ability of black students to perform and how that expectation can be used in your favor. Because what happens if nobody believes that you can perform, when they see that you can't perform, people will naturally try to assist you. And I found that to be true in so many times. As long as black students are showing their instructors, and whether those instructors are black, white, brown, yellow, or red, that they are willing to do the work, that they understand that they're not going to ask anybody for any sympathy, that they're going to work hard, you will find that you will get the benefit of the doubt, basically because nobody feels that, most people don't believe that black students can perform adequately. So it sort of works in your favor because you are essentially, in their mind, you are the exception to the rule of black academic failure. So you are playing people's prejudices against them to your benefit. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
In order to do that, you just can't be about game. Because the folks understand and they know when you're putting your best foot forward. If you're putting the work in, if you're doing the taking the notes, if you're outlining and summarizing your notes, if you're making good outlines, if you got a memory system in place, if your English and writing skills are good, you have to have those kinds of things in place, and you have to be able to show the instructors that you're doing your best to get the work. And then you go to them and say, you know, here are some questions that I have. You know, here's where I need some help. You know, I need this grade, and I'm willing to do what's necessary within my own personal ethics to get it. So, but you have to show people that you are willing to do the hard work that's necessary to achieve academically. Once you do that, then as my dad, you know, quoted somebody saying, the universe will conspire to assist you. But you can't go out there and just saying, well, I deserve this, I deserve that, and going asking your instructor some dumb questions and expect them to give you the benefit of doubt. It's not going to happen.
Right, it's not going to happen. And I posted on Instagram a couple days ago, you can't cheat the grind. The grind knows how much work you put in. It's not going to give you anything back that you didn't put in. Listeners, if you just tuned in, hey, you're listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. We're talking about excellence without excuse, the Black Student's Guide to Academic Excellence, and we're here with Charles W. Cherry II. So while they're listening, tell them how they can get a hold of it.
They can go to excellencewithoutexcuse.com. It's on the Internet. You can download it to all your different platforms. If you want to get it in a PDF, you can get it on PDF. And then there's also a link to it on Amazon. Either way, we're across platforms, and you can also get in contact with me on the website. You know, I'm there, and occasionally I will update the blog and everything, but I do check it, and you can get in contact with me in terms of speaking and seminars and all the rest of that kind of stuff. ExcellenceWithoutExcuse.com.
Wonderful. And something you said about the soft bigotry of low expectations. So the movie that just came out 2 weeks ago, the Best Man Holiday, I read an article where, in essence, essentially, white producers, Caucasian, I would say film groups, all of that genre, they didn't have any expectations that this film would do good. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They didn't have any expectation, and so they've been blown away that it got to second place right under Thor, which came out the same week. The article was just saying, "Well, we didn't expect it to do that. We didn't expect it to do this well." And so that kind of irritated. You could take that a couple of different ways to be irritated by that, or kind of be like a wake up call to be like, what does that say about America? And that's just not related to education, but it still made me think, just tied into that low you had such low expectations of us.
Yeah, well, you know, Hollywood is all about the money, so I would expect that at the very least there, you know, there may be some – a lot of brothers and sisters who are very talented that have not been able to sort of break through in Hollywood. Hopefully the performance of Best Man Holiday will give some folks a second look, and because in Hollywood it's all about the money and the financing and to be able to green light a project. But you know what? What we have to do as black people is to try to be, I think, a little bit more opportunistic than that. I've been in media a long time, about 30 years, on the radio side and on the newspaper side. One thing that we have the ability to do is what you're doing right now. There's a substantial difference in what you would consider to be mature. I don't call it old media, mature media. Right. You don't have to own and operate radio stations. Cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to begin to deal with green lighting a film in Hollywood costs you millions of dollars. But you have the internet on the radio side, you have the internet on the film production side, and there I think there are tremendous opportunities for young brothers and sisters who have the talent, have the skills, have the motivation to use the you know digital broadband. To do some things that and get some things done without having to go through these traditional channels that some of us have had to go through for the last 30 years.
Amen. Amen to that. All right. So, talking more about this Excellence Without Excuse, the Black Student's Guide to Academic Excellence, where do you think the system, or where have we? Let me not even deal with the system. Where have we as parents? Aunties, uncles, godmoms, all of that, where have we perhaps failed or come short with our African-American students?
We've turned over the education of our children to a system that does not respect them or that will hold them accountable for their own performance, bottom line. You know, I went through in my educational career, I was born in 1956, so I'm 58 years old. Not ashamed of it at all, because I'm still alive and breathing.
Still doing good.
You know, I went through the first 4 years of my education career. The fourth grade were in black schools. I mean, black segregated schools. And I will tell you this: that the best education that I got if I can compare and contrast it. Was with black teachers in black segregated schools,
yes.
Which means that we all the folks from my generation, essentially, it was only from about sixth grade, and junior high school that we ever went to school with white kids, and our education level was good. The HBCUs, historically black colleges and universities. I mean that it's only been 20 years or so, or 30 years, because I was in sort of the first wave of black kids that went to the University of Florida on the grad side. I mean, I think that the law school had only been desegregated about 5 years by the time I got there. So
wow.
we have a long history of being able to do fine, thank you very much, in our in our own educational system. But one of the key unintended consequences of desegregation, and I don't use the word integration because integration does not really exist in America. Desegregation means that you can't prevent me legally from going someplace because of the color of my skin. Integration means you don't have a problem with me marrying your wife, your daughter, or you know going to church with you, and all these kinds of. America is not quite an integrated society as of yet. So, but black people, the white man's ice was colder. We ran from our own institutions. And as a consequence of that, we turned over our kids to a system that we thought would educate them with the same fervor and the same desire that we had when we were educating our own. And it's been disastrous. So as aunties and uncles and everybody else, we have to now take responsibility for helping to educate our kids because we now understand how important education is because they are now in a worldwide competition for resources. I tell my kids, I got young kids, so I got one who's 13 and one who is 9. I'm an old dad. And I tell them that you are not competing scholastically against these kids you are in school with. You are competing for scarce worldwide resources against kids in China and Japan and India that go to school 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. Mm. Now, you playing video games, they're studying. In 10 years, somebody's going to be in charge of running the billions of dollars, trillions of dollars that circulate in a worldwide economic system. Is it going to be you or is it going to be somebody else?
Wow, things in perspective. That's really shining light. You're absolutely right that really this is a global, we're dealing with a global society and global money with the internet in particular. The lines of divide, the geographical divide is gone.
Absolutely. So it may take you 12 hours, and I spend time in Africa. I love Africa. I love going over there, and that's something else that I want to tell brothers and sisters who are listening. You need to lift your head and look around outside of America. There are two things that I see in Africa. One is that almost every resource that's important to this planet comes from Africa. I'm talking to you from a cell phone that has rare earths and stuff that's in every cell phone is only comes out of the ground in Africa. You know, and it's been like that for thousands of years. Everybody is beating a path to Africa for the resources except Black Americans. And there is a cultural affinity between Black America and Black Africa that we should take advantage of. I mean, we are brothers and sisters from essentially the same mother, except we got shipped over here, and they did. I mean, that's right. Really what the difference is. And because of the internet, because of intercontinental travel, I'm 12 hours from Accra, Ghana. I'm 19 hours from South Africa on a nonstop flight. I mean, there are links that can be built both from a cultural and from an economic perspective among African people around this planet, and that's where Black America should be looking toward. I mean, America is very difficult. I've been a small business person for 30 years. It's very difficult here to do something from a small business perspective because there's such a bias, if you will, toward scale, toward big things, toward the Walmarts and the Kmarts and the JCPenney's and the Apples and all these kind of big multinational companies. It's very difficult to be a small business person in America. But so you should look overseas and look to Africa to see what things that can be done, and then from a cultural perspective, there's no place like it for Black folks. I'm sold. I mean, I know that's not what we want to talk about, but Excellence Without Excuse essentially was written to assist our Black children in accomplishing whatever goals that they have for themselves. So I'm saying, as an older brother to some brothers and sisters that might be listening, you know, you have to accomplish your goals. And anything that leads you to accomplish that goal, there's an educational component to it. I would hope that your goal would include taking a look over at Africa.
Well, you are right on track because I have a mobile app, and my mobile app is available for iPhones, Blackberries, and Androids. Mm-hmm. Well, when I look at the reports, I would say 70% of my app downloads are BlackBerry. So I said, well, who is using, who uses BlackBerry? But when I look closer at the report, I see Nigeria, I see, and so somebody said to me, BlackBerry is the most used phone outside of the United States. And I said, oh, my, so hey to all my Nigeria, everybody that has the app that's listening from wherever you are. Over 75% of my downloads are BlackBerry. So those are people out, I think, really outside of the United States.
That's right. That's right. So you know, there's worldwide opportunity. We take the technology that we have here for granted, and I think our young folks need to understand that there's an opportunity from a cultural perspective and from an economic perspective for you to do some things that 10, 15, 20 years ago nobody was even thinking about.
Yeah.
But part of you getting to where you need to go is education. There has to be an educational foundation for you to get wherever you want to go on this planet. That's what this book is about.
I love it. I love it. I love it. So as we wrap, because I know your time is sensitive, can you give, just summarize, and maybe the top three things that you would say to a African-American, a black student, of the things they should put high on their list that they should work on to help them have academic excellence? Your top three tips.
Top three tips. One, you must come to the conclusion that it is education or die. And what I mean by that you will whatever your educational goals are, and let me even get to that. You got to set some educational goals for yourself, and that may just be intermediate goals, which may be just getting through sixth grade or seventh grade, and making the honor roll, getting fives on the FCAS or whatever. You got, first of all, you got to set some goals for yourself. Secondarily. You have to make up in your mind that you will get your education. Education is important to you, isn't it? And you have to get it for yourself. You, mama can't give it to you. Daddy can't give it to you. Everybody would be walking around with lumps on their head if you could get hit upside the head with a book and learn
right.
something. But it doesn't work that way. There's a process involved. Number three, I would say, don't reinvent the wheel. There's nothing new under the sun with regard to education. So if it's not my book or some other kind of guide that will assist you in trying to get a plan and an understanding of how to do, how to study and how to be successful, then get it. So I think with those three things, make some goals, understand it's education or die, and then get a plan. Then you can get into actual details of studying and taking notes and exam, how to take multiple choice tests versus essay exams and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But I'm a firm believer in moving from the general to the specific. So the general things you have to take care of first, and those are three good general things that I think you start off with.
Awesome. Put your hands together. Listen. I love it. I love it. Mr. Charles W. Cherry II, Pick Up Excellence Without Excuse. Again, tell them one more time your main website and how they can get a hold of this book.
Just go to excellencewithoutexcuse.com, and you have all the information there. You can get it across all platforms. If you don't have a platform, you can download a PDF. If you like the soft cover, then you can order it. There's a link directly to Amazon and the other places where you can get a copy of the hardcover, and it'll be in the mail to you and get to you very quickly. And also say this,
yeah.
if you're interested in me coming and doing seminars and workshops and speeches and all the rest of that kind of stuff, I support books, particularly in the Tri-County area. So the best thing to do, way to get in contact with me, is to go to excellencewithoutexcuse.com. There's a form there, a contact form. Fill it all out. And then I can get back with you, and we can talk about, me coming to support what we're talking about doing with our black students.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. We certainly appreciate your time here, and thanks for stopping by the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show.
Thank you, sister.
All right, you're welcome. Thank
okay.
you. All right, listeners, we're going to a commercial break, and then we'll be back. Don't you go anywhere.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Are you enjoying your spouse? Doctors Ray and Vicki Waters are motivated to help couples do just that. Laugh, love, and have fun. Dr. Ray and Dr. Vicki founded Health and Wealth Ministry, which stands for Husbands Enjoying and Loving Their Helpers, and Wives Enjoying and Loving Their Husbands. Visit them at healthandwealthministry.com. Watch their web series and more. Again, that's healthandwealthministry.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. Mitchellproductions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.mitchell-productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Hi, I'm Charlie. I fight fires, and I save lives.
My name's Renee. I'm a cardiologist. I save lives.
My name's Anthony. I'm an EMT. I save lives.
You don't have to be a professional to save a life. Firefighters, doctors, and others save lives. You can, too. Don't wait. To learn more about the warning signs and how you can help prevent suicide, visit save.org. In a crisis, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome back to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Woo! Dropping some knowledge. I'm telling you what. If you have a student, if you are near a student or you know a student, certainly what was covered by Charles, I think is empowering to say the least, and definitely an eye-opener for those of us to say we could be doing more, we could be doing better to help our students, in particular our African-American students, to excel in the academics. So certainly get a hold of that. All right, so listen, I want to put you in the holiday spirit. I want to put you in the holiday season. So I have a song I'm going to play. It's by KJ Scurin. And let me spell that, KJ and then S-C-R-I-V-E-N. He's a singer. He's a songwriter. He's a musician. He was born in Fayetteville, North Carolina, but lives currently in Charlotte, North Carolina, and he certainly has a strong but sincere message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he has a holiday song out that we want to share, O Come All Ye Faithful, just for the holiday season. He has been featured on Ty Tribbett. He's written for Ty Tribbett, and he's been featured on the song What Can I Do? And so, O Come All Ye Faithful is by KJ Scurin. And I hope I said that correctly. But anyway, we're going to let you hear it, and then we'll be back.
Go!
All right. I know you feel the holiday spirit right about there. I know you feel the holiday spirit. Listen, we want to give a big shout out, a big, big shout out to Bishop Hezekiah Walker, and a congratulations because he has been selected as the James Cleveland Lifetime Achievement Award recipient for the 2014 Stella Awards. The Stella Awards will air live from Nashville, Tennessee, January 18th, 2014. And Bishop Hezekiah Walker has been awarded the recipient of the James Cleveland Lifetime Achievement Award. So he will receive that on air. He certainly is a Grammy Award-winning choir director and church pastor. He has collaborated with people such as Justin Timberlake, P. Diddy, and Whitney Houston. He's recorded more than a dozen chart-topping albums, and he's really become the face of a black gospel choirs all over America and the world. And he's been doing this for 3 decades, so his career has really been long-lasting. His 14th CD, Azusa, The Next Generation, he dedicated that to the late Bishop Kenneth Moles, and he uses that CD to really marry the wisdom he's received from elders, but to really mentor and really push those that are on the forefront now, pushing gospel music. So big shout out to Bishop Hezekiah Walker, who will receive that award, James Cleveland Lifetime Award, live at the Stella Awards from Nashville, Tennessee on January 18th. And yes, yours truly will be in Nashville, Tennessee again for the Stella Awards. So you want to make sure you're following me on Facebook, facebook.com/Charvette, and we'll do social cam videos like we did last year, so you can kind of get the feel of what's going on, all of the after parties, all of the concerts, all of the award shows that we will be attending. So we're going to give you the inside scoop. Also, it would be great if you have my mobile app, because I can give you downloads and updates from my mobile app. So again, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, an Android, and that could be a phone or a tablet or a BlackBerry, you just need to search for Charvette. Just search for Charvette, very simple, in your app store, and then you'll be able to find what you need and get the download. So I can be, look, my little face will be right on your phone and all that good stuff. So listen. I want to share some tips. Oh, and a reminder that Small Business Saturday is November 30th. So make it a point to get out and shop for something from a small business owner. And I know you know some small business owners, so make sure you get out and do that. Shop and purchase something, a service, a product from a small business owner. So here are tips. If you are a small business owner, here are 5 social media marketing tips for the holidays. 5 social media marketing tips for the holidays. So tip number one, if you're a small business owner, invest financially in your social channels. So invest in Twitter, invest in Facebook. It will pay off, and that could be time or paid advertisement. So invest in your social media. For example, Facebook, there are 1.9 billion people on Facebook. So those are potential purchasers of your product. The next thing is tip number 2, create exclusive offers. So maybe those that are past customers, you could give them an exclusive offer to reward them for their loyalty. Tip number 3, timing is key. So research when most of your audience is going to do holiday shopping. Are they going to be doing holiday shopping like in the next couple days, or do they wait to the last minute? And that way you can time your promotions. Tip number 4, share your brand's holiday spirit. So if you have a actual brick-and-mortar building, share behind-the-scenes pictures on your Facebook, on your Twitter, or through your email list of decorations in your store or how your staff is spending holidays. And then tip number 5, utilize holiday hashtags. And that is something like, for instance, say you own a Coach store, you could do hashtag Coach Christmas. Or say you own a Sephora makeup store, you could do hashtag Sephora Seasons and create a brand-specific holiday hashtags for followers to share gifts they've received on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You know, they can say, hey, I got this gift, hashtag Coach Christmas. Hint, hint, hopefully somebody purchased me something from Coach for Christmas. But anyway, those are your tips there. All right, so today's been a great show. Again, stop by charvette.com to get all the information on our past shows and our upcoming shows. And I'm telling you what, we are just glad that you decided to stop by today. We're going to see you later. Bye.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.